Blog Talk Radio.
Cause some real friction in the dressing room. The big idea is you got to build. That didn't work for him. Again, we got no. Sometimes we show no class at all. But the match being a no contest was because we had a problem with the finish. And I hate those no contests, but the finish would have been so watered down because. There was a situation where somebody was promised something and I had to honor it. Somebody's going to be terminated and this company is not going to be liable. I beat Vince in 6 weeks. When he got on the when he came out and had a press conference and said they won't be on TV in 6 weeks, I kicked his ass in 6 weeks. Here's a guy ranting and raving in the middle of the ring, as big as a house. And Bill Bush tells me to go talk to him. And I got to catch him as he comes through the curtain. That's just what the job I want, okay? Benoit, Malenko, Guerrero, we're talking the cream of the crop. Mm-hmm. Shane Douglas, all of them. Conan, I mean, the Luchadors, we had it all. But then NWO, and I had Hulk, I had Flair, I had... How could I? I mean, I'd have to be really, really stupid to miss this one. He had made his mind up. He was getting rid of Bush, me, JJ. Reason why Goldberg didn't want to answer the phone was he was talking to Deadman. I think he slid a briefcase underneath my desk, you know what I mean? But it didn't kill me. And Sid told me, I'm only going to do it because you're asking me, but it's the wrong thing to do. I needed an opponent for Goldberg. You know, we all perceive ourselves as never making a mistake. Now, here's a wrestler going to jump an employee. I said, it's a knife. He said, oh, it's my gimmick. So somebody somewhere cut a deal. And I'm going to go through the list. It ain't Bill Bush. It ain't Kevin Sullivan, and it ain't, it's not J.J. Dillon. Could have been Brad Siegel, I'm not sure. We took the golden goose, and we chopped its head off.
So I went over to Afghanistan, actually, speaking of the terrorists. Yeah. I went over there and I did stand up for the troops, and they're good men and women, man. They are. They're all right. Yeah. But the Marines guarded me. Like, and I had this black kid... from Brooklyn, guard me. He was a real good 20-year-old kid, like in great shape, and he was my bodyguard. He's protecting me, and I'm like, you know what? I don't know about this. I should be protecting him. He's way more important to the world than I am. I mean, come on, this guy's saving our fucking country, and I'm in a basement on 23rd Street telling Mexican jokes. I should be taking the bullet for him, man. But he was a brave kid, man. He was a black kid and, like, all about love and helping me out. And, you know, and what happened was he always did fat jokes about me. Like, he was trying to be funny. And I couldn't get mad at him. He's saving my life. I'm like, I dealt with the fat jokes. But one time we were under mortar attack. We go on, and, you know, we're going to a bunker because mortars are attacking, like, us, me and Nick DiPaolo. Dave Attell and Baba Booey. What are we going to do? All right. No, so we're under mortar attack, and this black kid, he did all these fat jokes about me. So I say to him, hey, man, should we be scared right now? It's a mortar attack. And this is a true story. The kid looked at me and went, Adi, I look at this bullshit like this right here. If one of these motherfuckers hits you, you're just going to be dust. You ain't gonna feel shit. So who cares, man? You're just gonna be dust. And then he pauses and he has to do a fat joke. He goes, you're gonna be a lot of dust.
Oh, Bob's John Robinson broke the story and was then reported on WWE.com. The latest inductee into the WWE Hall of Fame class of 2013, perhaps the greatest of all time.
Coming down the aisle from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
He was completely dedicated to wrestling.
The most popular champion in wrestling history.
He wanted to be the best.
Tito Sammartino!
So I always wanted to be like Bruno Sammartino. Just an impression that he had on me. That's the way he carried himself as a man.
In my opinion, he's the greatest champion that WWE ever had. Ever.
Immigrating to America from Abruzzi, Italy as a young teen, Sammartino utilized his storied physical power in local strongman competitions, earning the moniker of strongest man in the world during his time. The Italian powerhouse soon captured the attention of local professional wrestling promoters. And the rest, as they say, is history.
He was so big, strong, powerful.
Not only was he powerful, but he was resilient. After breaking his neck at the hands of arch-rival Stan Hansen, Sammartino returned to compete just 3 months later at Shea Stadium, proving even a broken neck couldn't keep the living legend down.
In order to be on top, you have to be a winner. When you train hard and you have that confidence in yourself, you don't think about losing, you only think about winning.
On May 17, 1963, the Italian Superman shocked the world, defeating Buddy Rogers for the WWF Championship in an astonishing 48 seconds.
Mr. Ray, you're looking at a great champion!
Sammartino's dramatic victory would be the beginning of an historic title run of nearly 8 years, a record that stands to this day.
Tremendous celebrations for Bruno Sammartino, one of the most popular individuals in the world.
It was in the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden, that Sammartino established himself as a box office icon, headlining 187 MSG sellouts.
When you fill up Madison Square Garden, you're more than a name. You are a part of those people. They came to support him.
He packed Madison Square Garden year in and year out. I think that statement alone explains his greatness.
As a consummate professional and dedicated family man, Sammartino was a role model to millions all over the world. The reigning champ was even honored a private audience with the Pope in the Vatican.
Bruno Sammartino was my father's favorite performer, was his father's favorite performer.
A powerful gentleman and someone who carried the championship with pride and honor.
While Bruno's cumulative championship reign of 4,040 days is arguably his most impressive accomplishment, it pales in comparison to the living legend's stature. For in the 1970s, and even today, no name resonates more in the world of sports or entertainment than that of Bruno Sammartino. It is with great pleasure that we induct the living legend into the WWE Hall of Fame.
Congratulations to Bruno Sammartino, one of the greatest of all time. He'll be inducted in his home of Madison Square Garden the night before WrestleMania. Since growing up, this man was my hero.
There's never, ever been a more deserving superstar to be in the Hall of Fame than Bruno Sammartino.
The man who built Madison Square Garden, and ironically, that's where the induction ceremony will be taking place the night before WrestleMania.
How fitting. Congratulations, Bruno.
Nothing can get by us.
you today.
We can't have just a couple of seconds of it. We have to have the whole Mad Dog team. Mike
have
and
you showered yet or no?
No, I did a couple of interviews. I have not showered yet. Good morning, Boomer.
Chris, I don't understand.
You still throwing interceptions in this game, Boomer?
I got the real Chris Russo and I got the phony Chris Russo. So, by the way, are you how's retirement going?
I like that. Who listens, right?
The retirement, what are you talking? That doesn't make any sense.
Mike is not going to retire. He loves this. Why would he retire?
I'm talking about you retiring.
Well, why would I retire?
Where are you?
3 years ago.
But you left the radio business. What have you been doing?
I love you, Boomer. You're funny. How you doing? How's that show?
Sit in the big chair, buddy.
Do you still watch some?
In the big chair,
watch
baby.
This, Greg. Do you still watch Montana go right down the field, Boomer?
Absolutely. At least I was
there. Steal that Super Bowl. Here's Boomer. Picked off.
Let me just tell you something, bro. It's not about me, baby. It's about you right now. It's all about you right now.
Do you remember the Bruce Davis, Bruce Smith hit?
It's not about me, bro. It's all about you.
Hold on. Your phone's ringing, Chris.
Oh,
it's
God.
Mike, what are you doing, Boomer?
No. Hey, Mike and I had a good little run, a good reunion a couple days ago.
When was that?
Oh, you heard it. Don't give me that.
You guys were on together?
Was on Sirius?
Tuesday.
Where was it?
What is
the
channel?
Both places.
Channel 347. Where was that?
I love it, Boomer. Funny. Where'd you get this sense of humor? You stuck with me all these years.
I've been working with this guy.
The best thing, and I give you credit for, is that when you retired, your theme song was Radio Nowhere.
Yeah, they don't even know that. That's the funny thing. I played on Radio
Nowhere.
I'm surprised you know that. Good
well,
for you.
Well, because Boomer's a huge Springsteen fan, so he tells me about all the songs I know.
There you go.
And how about and speaking of that, how about we take care. Yeah, you've heard the single, of course.
Calm down.
I know you went. That's crazy.
It's the Super Bowl.
He still writes music, by the way.
He brought it up. And not only that, how about him doing a free show for Sirius subscribers at the Apollo Theater?
What channel is that on?
At the Apollo.
1012?
Will you stop at the 1012? My goodness. You're on MSG. Boomer? How the Knicks doing?
They're not doing very well. How the Rangers doing? Easy, calm down.
I love this guy.
Yeah,
he loves it. I did those football shows with him all those years.
Inside the huddle. It was Russo and Assize.
Now, one year, I forget where we were, I killed Kelly about making the Hall of Fame.
Right.
And so we were doing a show together, and
this is who you want killing somebody going into the Hall of Fame.
And he brings Kelly over here.
Of course.
And Kelly starts saying, you know, there's some guy in your station, not knowing it was me,
right,
was killing me about the Hall of Fame. And Boomer, with Kelly right there, says, yeah, Jim, is this idiot right next to me?
Of course.
And he killed me for the next 20 minutes.
Well, so
you destroyed me on that.
Well, I said, you gotta sit in front of the people that you're accusing.
Oh, but you set me up. You brought him over, then he buried me for 20 minutes.
That was
more of a setup than that was.
And then another time, Collinsworth got all upset at me because we gave him grief about the San Francisco, you remember the play-by-play game with Fossil?
Yeah.
And we had that studio. We were in Atlanta, and you put us in that beautiful studio. How do you put up with it, Greg?
How do you put up with yourself?
That's not easy. 5 hours of it. I somehow do it.
I know. 5 hours, no calls, no breaks. And let me tell you something about little Timmy. It's a terrible that he's like, he breaks his wrist.
Right.
I did it right now. His arm. He's dropping 19 points.
No, he's not doing that.
Krzyzewski already wants it, Michael.
That
doesn't make sense.
He doesn't.
I don't say.
He's giving me
he sounds better than you do.
Yeah, he takes the shows on serious.
Oh, yeah. So let me ask you a question. Does he not sound better than you do?
He does it. Like, everybody tells you to do a great impersonation.
Everyone tells you listen to it.
I never heard of him.
I'm listening to Evan and Steve over there, my guys. I'm serious. Anyway.
Listen, no one's listening to them.
Let me ask you a question.
We took Phillips away from you.
Who?
We stole him.
Steve, yeah.
Oh, he is
good. Steve Phillips was the future. The fan.
No, he's good.
I'm so upset that
kidding?
Steve Phillips ain't working with him.
Oh, hold on. Phillips is great.
I think Steve is good. He filled in for Boomer a couple times.
Why are you screaming? Can you calm down for 2 seconds?
It doesn't make any sense.
Aren't you an executive over there? Is it called Mad Dog Radio?
I'm lifting weights. Should I take my shirt off?
Take it off.
No.
Especially you, Boomer.
Take it off.
No, I don't want
to. Because I got a big belly right there.
Hold on. Take off your shirt. P90X, take off your shirt.
All right.
Here we go. That's what I'm talking about. You're what? Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God.
It's funny.
This is like an awkward and embarrassing.
How you doing? The first 155, everything.
What part of your body are you listening?
No, my arms. That's not funny.
Let me ask you this question. What are you benching?
Yeah.
155.
That's good.
That's not terrible. You don't like that?
Chris, that's good for you. It's good.
You're a grown man.
315 with the leg press.
You have a lot of freckles.
35 push-ups. Yes. I'm not bad. I never used to be able to do this with you a couple years ago.
You look good. You
still playing tennis?
Yes. Well.
You are.
Yes. You know what I care more than anything else?
Say,
my kids' basketball games.
That's all that matters.
That's what I care.
Now, do you go there and scream and yell and all
I get in the refs.
Why? Come on.
I get in the refs.
Why do that?
If he gets in foul trouble, I raise hell.
Really?
Yeah, well, I can't put my shirt on.
He yells at their
Please put your shirt on.
Please
put your shirt
tag on.
Not look at your nipples while I'm sitting here.
By the way, Drew Brees is coming. Hey, Leslie, how you doing, babe?
No, you're not doing that.
Leslie Vest is not taking her shirt off, Chris. We're not starting a trend here. You look horrendous. What is with you?
Anyway, I can't get enough of these basketball games.
Yeah, I cannot get enough of it.
Yeah, I go to all these games and I go crazy.
Yeah, but you can't sit there and yell at the referees.
I get the referees.
People know who you are. You know that.
I'm quiet about it. But I subtly say, I get my point across.
I don't understand, referee. What are you doing? My little Timmy never travels. It doesn't make any sense. That's a terrible call, referee.
He does sound like me. You know
he
that?
Does,
right?
Yeah,
all these
yeah
years,
I got you down.
He sounds like you work with two Chris Russos. That's amazing. He fouled out of a game in December.
Oh, Jesus. We're talking about a 13-year-old. I mean,
with 6:24 left, I was so incensed. I almost ran out of the gym. I was so upset.
What are the San Francisco Giants doing?
They won a World Championship. When we're
I know, but what are they doing? I mean, what are they doing?
Well, we got to get to
the you know, I really don't care. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you hate the base. You don't like baseball. Hey, listen, making fun of the Giants.
Yeah,
you
we're
got
Met
the
fans,
Mets.
You know that.
God.
What do you mean I don't like
what
baseball?
You got the Mets.
Why does he think I don't like baseball?
Because, no, hold on. This is the guy.
Don't interrupt. The Mets are a disgrace.
The legendary story. So Boomer and I get the job. You and Mike are stabbing us in the back the day we walk in the door.
Where was I
trying
doing
to impede,
that?
Oh, yeah. You know you are.
Even I was?
Yes,
yeah,
you were.
Impeding our
that
progress.
That really hurt me. That hurt
you don't
me.
Want us to be successful.
Your
insecurity was fascinating to me.
Really? I was on you guys?
Oh, you were the biggest douche in the world.
Me?
So, yeah, you were.
So let's get it all out right here.
So we're in the hallway.
Right.
And Boomer had left because it's 10:02. He's out of
the
already. We're going to that little. Now, we're going to the old Mike and Chris office because, God forbid, you guys don't get the big Imus office. Once we get there. So we're in this little closet you guys spent 20 years in. You accost me in the hallway. Craigie, do you even like sports? I listened to the show. I didn't hear you break down.
I may have
done that. Curveballs.
That's possible. That's
then you go to this little
did
time.
Did I give you a hard time?
You were the worst.
Oh, wait,
you guys killed
then you go to this killed little ditty.
Yeah. Then he goes, Craigie, listen. Boomer doesn't even like baseball.
Well, he doesn't.
He's going to be in Green Bay, Minnesota on a Monday night. Who's going to break down the Mariano curveball in the eighth? It doesn't make any sense. Here's what you do. You go home. You take a little nap. You stay up. You lock the game.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Boomer don't care. He's just worried about a 3-4 defense, forfeit Nugent, and you don't even know what's going on.
Yeah, you got me pegged.
Right?
Yeah.
So, first off, the man was the Long Island Baseball Player of the Year. Won the Yastrzemski Award. Sorry about that. Right?
Yeah.
And I could have played baseball.
He would have heard of Sandy Koufax if he freaking fell on him. Are you kidding me, Boomer?
And then the worst thing he ever did.
He knows his football.
Not the worst thing, because you're a bad guy.
Let me ask you a question. Why is this about me? This shouldn't be about me. This is about you coming back, being nice, us being nice enough to allow you to come into our living room.
Right.
You take your shirt off. We should have thrown you out after that. I mean, you're nuts. So just let
did
him
I
finish.
Did I knock you guys?
Oh, you
then, and then there's this
I
one.
Don't remember that.
We're giving away World
is that,
Series tickets.
Is that correct, Madge?
Everyone knows you killed us. It's all right.
It's all right.
Then
we're
giving away tickets. And we make a small little mistake about the DiMaggio hit streak and who it ends against.
Oh, that I could see.
And
that
you
go,
those idiots in the morning.
Do you even like sports?
Right.
How do we hire two guys
that
don't even know
what'd you say,
about the Cleveland Indians, the White Sox? It was the Marlins. Michael, do you believe this? Where the fan of never going to be the same. I don't even like it. I mean, I worked with
did
Boomer.
Did you get the hitting stick wrong? That is bad.
Not me.
Did you get the hitting stick wrong?
What?
What the
Al Dukes
stick.
Al
Dukes
stick.
How did you get the hitting stick wrong?
That's
the famous streak. This is
no,
a sports
stick. It wasn't me. It was that old, fella, Dan Cronin, who used to
yeah,
work
Dan
there.
Cronin messed it up.
Oh,
yeah.
Dan, so you're going to pass the bucket kill
oh,
Cronin.
Yeah.
Well, listen, it's good seeing you, buddy.
I
know it ain't.
Are you guys, Boomer, you okay with me, Boomer?
Yeah, I'm fine. Are you okay? Like you're a woman asking for his approval.
It's okay, babe. Don't worry about it.
Listen. Did you enjoy Inside the Huddle with Boomer or not?
I did.
Be honest.
I loved it. We did it for 5 years, right?
Time
how many years did we do it?
At least 5 years.
5, 6 years
yeah,
we did that.
Time doing it,
Boomer
yeah.
took me on his plane like you guys go. Took us. I'm a big Boomer fan. And I love you too.
He flew you somewhere once.
Oh, we went away. Oh, he took us to the Super Bowl. We flew down all over the place. Just like you on the Monday nights. You got to go everywhere on a Monday night?
Used to. Now they're on TV. We can't do those trips anymore.
So how are you doing the West Coast?
I have to get back, but he can't.
So you have to come back right after the game?
Yes, I do, yes.
And you get up the next morning at 6 o'clock in the morning?
Of course I do, yes. It's called work ethic.
But how about if there's a Monday night game this year?
I don't do San Diego, California, Dallas. Denver. I don't do any of those.
Do you want to apologize to us for being bad to us when we first got there?
Right.
I don't remember that.
Of course you don't.
Right.
But I was, I love Imus. You know that. He was good to me.
You know, look at Ray Martell.
Ray is.
Look at Ray. He's looking at you right now.
I put Ray in a tough spot.
Let me ask a question. It wasn't our fault that Imus left.
Yeah.
So why were you bad to us? We had nothing to do with it.
I apologize.
All right, thank you.
All forgiven now that you apologize 5 years later.
If that is the case.
Listen, enjoy retirement.
Stop at the retirement.
Stocks at 30 cents.
By the way, if you ever need a guest, I might.
Hold on now. Let me ask a question. They won't let you come on.
Yeah, they will.
No, they won't.
Yes, they will.
Come on today. I guarantee you get a call from Mr. Chernoff. He won't let you come on.
He
won't let him come on. I guarantee he never comes on.
But I could come on every now and again.
Yeah.
You're doing a game this weekend.
Yes, I am.
So why don't you come on the next 2 days?
What time you have for him?
He shows up, we'll make the time.
What channel are you on?
What are you, 86 for you? Stop at the channels. Boomer, when Penn State happened, we had 27,000 calls in the channel.
That's great.
I did the trivia last week.
Right.
20,000 calls in 5 days.
Mike does.
Yes.
So you sold Mike's bit and you took it to...
I'm not stupid.
Right, okay, good, okay.
The marquee joint. We do better than you guys think.
Good call. See you, buddy.
See you guys later.
Take off your headphones. See you, buddy. Yeah. Yeah.
You didn't like your shirt off?
No, I did not.
No, you're good.
A 23-year-old teacher in Colorado by the name of Carly McKinney, who has been suspended because of the fact that she was on Twitter tweeting about how she was naked, wet, and stoned.
That doesn't sound too bad.
First of all, a 23-year-old math teacher, which kind of amazes me, right? That makes sense. Maybe if you are very driven, I started my career when I was young, so if you're driven, motivated, it's possible. But there she is. She's the math teacher for this school, and it's Overland High School in Aurora, Colorado, to be specific. Anyway, and she tweets these pictures. She's smoking pot there. She was allegedly smoking pot on the school grounds.
All right. So there was a couple of pictures that were no big deal, right? All right, smoking pot, blah, blah, and then she's hanging literally upside down. And then we're seeing nip action, we're seeing no bra, okay. Now, look, the thing
Where were the parents, Cenk? That's what I want to know.
The parents? They were on Twitter checking these pictures out. Okay. So, now, look, here's the thing. It's a free country. She can hang upside down and show us her panties. And nicely done, by the way. And, by the way, it's in Colorado, smoking pot is perfectly legal. Okay.
At the moment, and I hope it stays that way.
Okay,
but you can't smoke pot on the school grounds.
Grounds is a bit of a problem.
Yeah.
When she admitted there was a drug raid, at when she tweets out...
Let me read you that tweet, actually.
This is great.
Yeah, okay. She tweeted that, watching a drug bust go down in the parking lot, it's funny because I have weed in my car in the staff parking lot.
Yeah, that's funny, except you just made that public.
Yeah, she made that public. There were other tweets, for instance, as I referred to this earlier, naked, wet, stoned. That was one of her tweets. Mm-hmm. Another one was, such an easy day. Can't wait to roll up after school. Listen, I'm all for rolling up after school, right? Not personally.
No, of course not.
But you probably should make this stuff public. So the reason why this story broke...
People probably wanted to roll that up after school.
All right, let's calm down. So the reason why this story broke is because, thankfully we have local news. 9 News in Colorado found this Twitter account, and they thought, you know what, maybe this is actually a trick on this 23-year-old student. Let's give her a call and figure out what's happening. And now you get a sense of how intelligent this woman really is.
Hi, Carly.
When I first called 23-year-old math teacher Carly McKinney, I thought she may have been the victim of a cruel prank.
You're making up this stuff about the marijuana?
McKinney answered, I didn't do that.
So are you in control of this Twitter account or are you not?
McKinney's reply, I was, but I guess I'm not. Although the last public post on the Carly Crunk Bear site was, local news station just called me, tweaking out.
That's so dumb. Why would you kind of deny it on air and then immediately confirm it on your Twitter account, which they just told you they were watching and reading? God, man, she should be fired on that alone. I don't want her anywhere near math. Imagine how badly she bungled the math.
Math is her thing.
That's her thing. Oh, yeah. Hey, guys, should we pardon her unnecessarily? Look, hey, look.
Knowing Jank, he would pardon
him. No, look, marijuana's legal. Butt shots are legal. Okay. Twitter's legal. Can I get a pardon, J.R. and Jesus?
Well, the thing is, you know, I mean, it's you have some skill. You can teach some people. Maybe she's good at gymnastics. Make her a gym teacher.
She's flexible. Jesus, can I get a pardon?
Yeah, you get social media, start teaching them what not to do on social media.
Yeah, no, you know what? Take a week off, learn from this, put away your Twitter account, okay, and then welcome back to school. What do you think, Anna?
Well, I don't want to be a hypocrite on this situation. We've done stories in the past where a female teacher has nude photos of herself online, and then she gets fired, which I think is absolutely ridiculous. I don't think that she should get suspended based on the pictures alone. I think that she should get suspended for her utter disregard and just complete, like, lack of intelligence. Because
disregard for general common sense.
Common sense, exactly, yeah.
Okay, so, look, I'm a little torn. I don't want to fire her. Maybe I'm being a softy, you know, putting the kidding aside. You know, because, again, nothing she did is illegal. One of the kids in the school says, hey, McCutie, and she says, oh, you're being jailbait, and you're jailbait on there. They said, so, like, these are all a little unacceptable, but I don't think anything necessarily crossed the line, but I would sit her down.
I'd
be like, listen, man, you got to straighten this thing out ASAP.
The only thing that makes me lean toward firing her, and there has to be proof of this, there is an indication that she was smoking on school grounds. If she's really doing that, then yes, she should be fired. You can't show up to work drunk. You can't be drinking at work unless you work at TYT. So you can't, like, on a school campus, you can't do that. So if she gets caught doing that and there's evidence of it, then yes, she should get fired.
Fair enough. Pardon her.
If she were an unattractive female, I guarantee you that Jank would be like off with her head.
You know, what do you take me for? You take me for a Neanderthal conservative?
Sometimes.
No, absolutely not. No, her level of attractiveness while she was hanging upside down had nothing to do with my judgment whatsoever.
Few extra minutes to make fast food great food. Roland Roaster, Emmons and Nostrand Avenues in Sheepshead Bay, Brooklyn.
Rainbow Car and Minivan Taxi Service. Fast, reliable, and convenient service.
For all your transportation needs.
Call 718-498-4444. Call 718-498-4444.
Your friend, what can you tell me about how his life has been changed and how he's had to change how he's living his life because of the massive attention on this case across the nation?
His life will never be the same. He's living in seclusion. I don't know where he's at. I do know how to get in touch with him now, but I have no idea where he's at. He's being treated for post-traumatic stress syndrome, depression, insomnia. He can't eat. He cried for days after the shooting. He's extremely remorseful. And now he's living in hiding because he has become the scapegoat for what ails this country as far as racial relations go.
You know, Joe, as a father and as a minority, how do you balance the concerns with a story like this with your friendship with George, what you know about this man?
I'm not here just for George. I'm here for my kids. I'm here for every other young black man. I understand why everybody is upset. If I didn't know George, I'd be upset too, and I'd be out there. If I didn't know what I know, I'd be just as outraged. But once this is all over, we still have to address the problem that brought us to the point in the first place, and that's the fear that we have of each other, the fear that we have of young black men. We hear all of the stories about the criminal aspects that have put young black men in the spotlight, but we don't hear enough about all the successful black men that we have out there, the ones who have done it on their own, the ones who have pulled themselves up out of poverty. We don't hear enough about that. We've got a black president, yet we stereotype black males. I get that. We've got to continue this conversation after this is over, because it goes beyond Trayvon and George. And for the and at its core, this particular incident, this confrontation between Trayvon and George, it had nothing to do with race. But because of our racial history, because of Samford's racial history, I mean, that's why we're at where we are now.
Why did it just cause you to get a lump in your throat and was obviously a very emotional moment for you, Joe?
Well, I've got an 18-year-old son. My heart goes out to the Martins. I'm a black man. And like my friend George, I'm just trying to do the right thing.
Joe, thank you for being with us this morning. And obviously you think very highly of your friend to also be out here and speaking on his behalf when he's been told apparently not to speak for himself at this point. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it.
I was the one that found Supervisor Milk's body, and I was the one that put a finger in a bullet hole trying to get a pulse. Once you have been through one of these episodes, once you see what the crime scene is like, it isn't like the movies. It changes your view of weapons, I think.
Senator Feinstein's bill to ban schools of assault weapons, the Democrats are pushing it in Congress. What does Newt Gingrich think about it? The former Republican presidential candidate and House Speaker joins me now. Welcome back, Mr. Speaker. How are you?
I'm doing well, but I'm curious, Pierce, how many intros have you done using people who successfully defended themselves with a gun? I mean, I understand where you come from.
Well, let me ask you a question. How many people of the 3 million who own AR-15 military-style assault rifles in this country have ever used them to defend themselves?
I can't get you a number, but I'll be glad to try to find
a number. I haven't heard of any.
But let me ask you.
Here's my point. I haven't heard of any. So the answer comes back at you. Why does anybody need, in civilian life, a weapon that belongs in a military battlefield, as General Stanley McChrystal and General Colin Powell have both said?
First of all, the civilian AR-15 is not an automatic weapon. It's illegal to have an automatic weapon of that kind. It is a semi-automatic weapon. Second, your last interview I thought was very revealing. The uncle of the young man kept saying, "We don't know." And I want to suggest to you that a great deal of what's going on here is everybody who wants to ban guns woke up immediately and said, "I've got a bill. It's the bill I've had for 10 years. Let me bring it back in." The fact is, we don't know about a lot of these things. Mental health is a big part of it. I've challenged my liberal friends. Let's have hearings in Chicago. Chicago has very strict gun control and was the murder capital of the U.S. last year. Mm-hmm. Over 500 people were killed. Now, why is it the people who are for gun control don't want to go to Chicago to find out why gun control has failed so miserably?
Why are automatic weapons banned in America?
Because they were felt to be too dangerous. It came out of the 1930s.
Why are they too dangerous?
Because of the high volume of fire, which you don't get from a semi-automatic weapon.
Okay, did you know how many bullets the shooter at Aurora, James Holmes, fired per minute with his AR-15?
No.
Okay, he had a magazine that can fire 100 bullets in 1 minute. How many more bullets do you need to fire, Mr. Speaker, before that qualifies as a dangerous killing machine by your criteria?
Well, by my criteria, and this goes back to a question of what you respect, Pierce. I think the Second Amendment really matters. I think if you look at the new law in New York State,
so do I. But what I want to know,
clearly,
so do why, but what I want to know is where do you draw the line? You just said this rule was set on automatic weapons back in the 30s. I put it to you that an AR-15 military-style assault weapon, as used in the last five mass shootings...
It's not a military-style assault
weapon. But it can fire 100 bullets a minute, Mr. Speaker.
This is lovely propaganda.
What else do you call them?
This is lovely propaganda.
It can fire 100 bullets in a minute. What else do you call it?
I would simply say to you that millions of people, by your own definition, own an AR-15. They are law-abiding. They think it is their right under our Constitution to own it. And don't kid the rest of us. The people who are just on would ban all guns if they could get away with it. You look at the New York State law that Governor Cuomo just pushed. Basically, it eliminates virtually every pistol.
Let me pick you up on that. Dianne Feinstein is attacked by many Republicans as being somebody that wants to ban all guns. Do you know how many different types of gun she had permitted to remain in legal circulation in America under her new proposals?
No, I like this. Oh, so this is what this year the government's willing to permit.
Well,
and
why won't she permit?
But you've already quite said, as many.
But you've already agreed.
In New York State.
But Mr. Speaker, you have already agreed with the decision to not permit Americans to have automatic firing weapons. What's the difference
I don't think people. Okay, so now we're arguing over whether or not very many people's lives will be saved. And I'm challenging you and others.
No, I'm not actually. How many more guns does an American civilian need other than 2,200, which would be permitted under this new assault weapons ban? How many more do they need to defend themselves, for goodness sake? What is the difference between mass slaughter created by an automatic weapon and by a weapon, as we saw at Aurora or a Sandy Hook, that can kill 100 people in a minute? What is the difference?
Wait a second. First of all, you're making our case. Permitted. In other words, this year they're going to permit, and then next year they may not permit.
Mr. Speaker, there are 50 or more gun control rules which do not permit Americans to use certain types of weaponry already. So that permission decision has already been taken more than 50 times.
Pierce, if your primary concern is saving lives,
yes,
you'd have to look at pistols, because pistols are the primary killers, and they're the primary killers in big cities, all of which have gun control laws.
The preferred weapon of mass shooters, deranged young men.
Right.
There's been a pattern of five deranged young men using AR-15s. Why do they use them? Because they're easy to use, and they create the most mass killing in the shortest possible time. That is why people like Dianne Feinstein and me want them removed from civilian arms. I see no difference in the ability to commit mass murder between an automatic weapon, which is banned, and you agree with that ban, and an AR-15, which can shoot 100 people dead or 20 children at Sandy Hook in less than a minute. I see no difference.
So where are you on pistols that have fairly large capacity? Where are you on the pistols that killed most of the people in Chicago, Pierce?
My position
is it's okay if we kill them individually?
Position very, very clear. What is happening in Chicago is completely outrageous, completely unacceptable. I think there's been a total breakdown in the effectiveness of the law enforcement, because when you compare it to New York, they have solved a lot of the gun problems in New York with very stringent gun control, and they've enforced it properly. It's like a Wild West situation in parts of Chicago. I've been there. I think it's outrageous. And I think the fact that 11,000 or 12,000 people die a year in America from gunfire, and a lot of that is from handguns used by criminals and gangsters, is disgraceful. And I think
He's New York's number one sports authority. You don't think that matters? Well, you're dead wrong. It matters a lot. It's not like you can import new arms. It's not like you're going to be able to wave a magic wand. Three new guys are showing up. His talk is hard-hitting. If I don't say it, no one will. And he's earned the respect of the fans. The audience is right why I'm here. I'm only here because of you. He is Mike Francesa. Just be fair. Be a little bit fair. No one's asking you how you're doing it. Just get it done. Mike Francesa, New York's number one sports radio show. Weekdays at 1, right here on Guest.